Today's shir is Masechta Bei Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah taught us Ve'elu Heimishim V'loy Mekat Ve'elu Mishim Rishus. We learned in the Mishnah that one of the things that we're not allowed to do on Yontif is Loy Donim. It says the Marva Kumitzah Kavit. Isn't the person who's doing it the entire doing a mitzvah? And says Gemara, "Lo tzricha da adif minei, somebody else who could do this the entire better than he." V'loy mekatshim, we learned we're not allowed to marry a woman on yontif. Ask the Gemara, "A mitzvah kavod, isn't getting married a mitzvah? So why should we not be allowed to do it on yontif?" And says the Gemara, "Lo tzricha." Our Mishnah is referring to a situation this lay isha bonim. The person already has a wife and children, and therefore getting married now is considered a dvar rishus. So according to Beis Shammai, as the Gemara Masech, the Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph on the Beis explains, he already has two male children. According to Beis Shammai, somebody who has two male children has already fulfilled the mitzvah of Puru Revu. According to Beis Hillel in that Gemara, he has a boy and a girl. And therefore, the Gemara, when it says Ishu Banim, means he has a boy and a girl, and therefore he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Puru Revu. And even though the Gemara over there in Daf Samach Beis on the Beis teaches us, based on the pasuk in Keheles, Baboika Zraz Arechel Erev Al Tanach Yitcha, a person should continue having children, not just the minimum amount. Still, that's not considered significant enough of a mitzvah that he should be allowed to get married on Yontif, because he has already fulfilled the mitzvah. The Sfas Emes points out, if somebody is married and he already has children, but he doesn't have children from this wife, it's still not obligated to get married because he hopes to have children from this wife. And therefore, he says, as long as he has a wife, even though he hasn't had children from this wife yet, he doesn't have a right to get married on Yontif. Moreover, the Rishonim point out, from here we see that the point of marriage is to have children. So if he has the children, he doesn't have to get married just because he has a wife. Tosfos points out that our Gemara was teaching us, why can't you do a Kedushin on Yontif? Because of a day Dvar Rishus. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that somebody who doesn't have children, a wife and children, would be allowed to get married on Yontif. But the Gemara is saying is only because this person already has a wife and children. So Tosfos says someone who doesn't have a wife and children would be allowed to get married on Yontif. But Tosfos does point out that even though that's what it seems should be the halacha, the halacha is that we don't get married, we don't make a wedding on Yontif. We learned further in our Mishnah, we may not do a chalitza or a yibum on Yontif. Ask the Gemara for a mitzvah covered. Isn't he performing a mitzvah when he does the mitzvah of yibum? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha de'ikah gadol. There's an older brother than he. Mitzvah gadol liyavim. And the mitzvah, as the Gemara Masech, that Kedushin teaches us, there is a mitzvah always for the oldest brother first to do yibum before any of the younger brothers. And he's not one of the older brothers, he's one of the younger brothers. So we just learned that we're not allowed to do a Kedushin on Shabbos and on Yontif. The Ramah, however, says that in extreme cases, Kedushin and Nesuin may be done as Shabbos. For example, if it was a wedding, in those days it was quite common, the weddings would take place Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon is not an issue that you're allowed to get married. And Ramah speaks about a case where there was a wedding scheduled for Friday, but then there was a dispute, a monetary dispute, that delayed the wedding. And Ramah says, under those circumstances, we can make the wedding Friday night. And the Chayi Adam explains that the reason the Ramah permits a Kedushin and a Shun and Shabbos, he says only under certain circumstances. And he gives the circumstances. One is, as we just learned, the Chassan has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah Puravu. Another requirement, another condition, is that delaying the wedding until Sunday will result in substantial monetary loss. In those days, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers, so they can't put the wedding feast away, the suda away, and it'll get spoiled to Sunday. And by delaying the wedding, it will be embarrassing to the chassan and kala. In fact, the Ramah, in the Tshuvas HaRamah, discusses a situation that he himself was Masada Kedushin at a wedding of a Yosoima on Friday night, because the wedding was supposed to be Friday during the day. It got delayed because he writes there he was concerned that delaying the wedding until Sunday may lead that by the Sunday there'll be already a broken engagement. And in order to avoid this Yosoima from having to suffer, he made the wedding Friday night to avoid any of these problems. And it's all based on the Tosfos that we mentioned earlier. The Rambam, however, says that a wedding should not even be scheduled for Erev Shabbos, because he's concerned that a wedding that's scheduled for Erev Shabbos could lead to Chil Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch, however, quotes the Rosh, who says that weddings may be performed on Erev Shabbos. And in fact, he writes that it was very common minig, it was a very common custom to make weddings on Friday. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that if one is making a wedding on Friday, he should make sure to make the wedding early in the day to avoid Chil Shabbos, which would mean that you have to make it early enough that the guests who are attending the wedding should be able to get home before Shabbos to avoid any Chil Shabbos. So we've learned various different things that may not be done on Shabbos. And what's the reason? Says the Gemara, Kula Tamamai. Why by like, that we can't have a din Torah, Kedushin, Chalitza, Yibam. Why is the halacha by all these things that they may not be done on Yontif? Because Chazal were concerned, Gzeira Shema Yichtav. As we know, the first Mishnah Masechta Kedushin teaches us that Ha'isha Niknas B'Shloisha Drachim, there are three ways to perform a Kedushin, a marriage, and one of them is with a shtar. And since one of them is with a shtar, if we're concerned that if we're going to have the wedding on Yontif and the chassan is going to choose to be Mekadosh's wife with a shtar, it could lead to Chil Shabbos. The Mishnah said, "Ve'elei mishum mitzvah le'magdishin v'le'marichin v'le'machrimin." Says the Gemara, why did Chazal disallow all these different types of activities? Says the Gemara, "Gzeirah mishum mekach memka." Chazal were concerned that it should look like one is doing business. And of course, one may not do business in Yontif. And in fact, that's why the halacha is that most poskim say that one should not give a gift on Yontif, because that too is considered mekach or memkar. And the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Lamed Halacha Zayin, says, "Hamoicher anois matana b'Shabbos b'Yontif." If somebody does a transaction or gives a gift on Shabbos Yontif, he deserves Malkus the Rabbanon for violating what we just learned. However, massive kiyomim, and the Raga Mishnah says that the Rambam's source is our Gemara, and the question is that under certain circumstances may we do a gift. So he says, one of the examples the Magen Avraham says, he says, is that we know that when somebody buys a new keli, he has to do tefillas kelim. Let's say somebody has a new keli that he needs to use on Yontif, but he didn't do tefillas kelim. And as we know, the halacha is that one can't do tefillas kelim. We're going to speak about similar in a moment. It's Shem, it looks like Masakin. So you can't do tefillas kelim on Yontif. But the question the Magen Avraham discusses is, could we give that keli to Akum? The keli that belongs to an Akum is not mechuyev in tefillas kelim, but the vow's giving a gift. So the Magen Avraham at Simon Shin Chaf Gimel Sif Katan Yud Beis says, if it's be given for tzaruch Shabbos, I need that keli for Shabbos Yontif, even though it involves giving a gift which looks like Mekach HaMemkar, it may be done. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Vav Sifkaton Lamed Gimel says that on Shabbos, one should be careful not to give a gift to a bar mitzvah boy, to a chassan kalam. And he says if somebody has the intention to give a gift on Shabbos or Yontif, says the Mishnah Brura, he should already be zoicha, he should already transfer ownership of that gift to the bar mitzvah boy from before Shabbos. And like that, you'll avoid doing mekach memkar on Shabbos or Yontif. Only when it's a tzorich mitzvah, that's when it's mutter. And the best example is on Sukkos. We know that if somebody doesn't have his own dalam minim, but the halacha, as we learned in Masechta Sukkah, is that the dalam minim have to be lochem. They have to be owned by the person who's going to fulfill the mitzvah, particularly on the first 2 days of Sukkah, the first day of Sukkot, Chutz La'aretz, the first 2 days of Sukkah. And therefore, you could give it to the person, you could give your dalam minim to that person with a matanam nas la'achzer. And the reason you're allowed to do it is because it's the tzorich mitzvah. And that's why the Eliyahu Rabbah is a little more lenient, even with giving a gift to chasen kala on Shabbos. He says the mitzvah of being mesameach chasen kala is such an important mitzvah that you could give a gift even on Shabbos Yontif. But as we said, the Mishnah Brura disagrees. Furthermore, Mishnah Brura says that even in the situation that a gift is being given on Shabbos for Yontif, in circumstances where it may be done, says the Mishnah Brura, it should be done in a very quiet way. For example, he says that we know we could transfer ownership with Meshicha, that the person who I'm giving a gift to just takes hold of the item that we're giving him. It says Meshicha is much less of Mekach or Memkar than doing Kinyan Suda. Another question that the Paiskim discuss is, are you allowed to make something hefker? Many Paiskim, the Pri Chodesh, the Shaar HaMelech, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger, all say that we're not allowed to make something hefker on Shabbos, because making something hefker also is included in the category of what we are now discussing of Mekach or Memker. The Brik Yosef, the Das Torah, hold that you're allowed to be mafker on Shabbos. Why? Because they say the definition of Mekach Memka means that I was transferring ownership from me to you. But Hefker means I'm transferring ownership, that I no longer own this object, but I'm being mafgrit and nobody owns it. So therefore they say Mekach Memka is only considered when it goes from one person to another person, not when it goes from a person to Hefker. Certainly when it's the tzarech mitzvah, if we said giving a gift is considered mutter according to most paiskim when it's the tzarech mitzvah, certainly giving, being mafkel the tzarech mitzvah is mutter. And that's why when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so after we finish eating the chametz Shabbos morning before the zman, we are mafkel all of our chametz. Why is there no problem of mekach memkar on Shabbos? The answer is, because it's Lotzarech Mitzvah, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Tashbisu, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of giving up all ownership of Chametz. And here it's even better, because we're not transferring ownership to any one individual. We're being Mafgrit, and as we just quoted some of these Achroinim, who said being Mafgrit is not an issue of being, is not an issue of, on Shabbos, is not an issue, is not Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos. We learned further in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maestris on Yontif. Ask them our Pshita. So the question is, what's the question of Pshita? So one explanation that I saw the Ru'ah gives, that it's Mesakin. But the question is, Mesakin, we also, is a reason. So just like all the other activities that we learned we may not do on Yontif, and the Gemara gave a reason, but the Gemara never said Pshita. Why over here does the Gemara ask Pshita? And therefore, many Achroinim suggest, the Rosh Yosef, and many Achroinim suggest that since we've learned so many times in our Masechta that we're not allowed to take Trumas and Maestris on Shabbos and Yontif, certainly Why did the Mishnah, it's something that we're well aware of, why did the Mishnah have to repeat it? Another pshat that I saw is suggested by the Beis Meir. If we just learned that we're not allowed to be magdish an item on on Yom Tov, we were giving it to Hegdish, so certainly when we're giving Trumas and Maestras, that the Trumas and Maestras are given to a Kohen, to a Levi, certainly we should not be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Why did the Mishnah have to mention it separately? Answers, Gemara Tanu, Reb Yosef, the Chiddush is, that even I'm going to give it immediately to the Kohen today, and the Kohen is going to be able to eat it, and therefore since giving it to the Kohen today, then he'll be able to eat from that produce today, maybe should be included in the heter of Simchas Yontif, teaches us the Mishnah that no, we're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maestris on Yontif. However, says the Gemara, when was this halacha said? When we could have taken off the Trumas and Maestris from before Yontif. So there halacha is, since you could have taken it off before Yontif, you have no right to take it off on Yontif. Avul Meperi the Tivli Edna. If they only became Tevil on Yontif, Kigoin, Isa. If somebody made a dough on Yontif, and we know, as we discussed many times in our Masechta, when you make a dough, you have to take off challah. But I couldn't have taken off the challah before Yontif. I didn't even have the dough before Yontif. Since I couldn't have taken off the challah before Yontif, I could take off the challah on Yontif. Mafreshinan v'yevina l'koyim. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara said, the Mishnah used the words mishum rishus or mishum mitzvah. Ask the Gemara. These different activities that we learned are rishus. Ask the Gemara, mishum rishus, ikka mishum shvus, leka. There's no shvus involved in doing these different activities. Or the activities that were identified in the Mishnah that were mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, there's only a mitzvah involved in doing these things. Mishum shvus leka. If Chazal said that we may not do these activities, obviously what Chazal were teaching us is that in doing these activities, there's an issur d'rabbanan. Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yitzchak, loy mibayi kama, loy mibayi shvus great tzedaser. Certainly, in a situation where you're doing something and there's no mitzvah involved in what you're doing, there's nothing positive involved in what you're doing, certainly you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Ela filu, in situations, shvus d'rushus, where there's somewhat of a mitzvah in what you're doing. Nami Osir, it may not be done on Yontif. And furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah. V'loim b'ay shvus d'rushus d'osir, when if it's only somewhat of a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it if it involves violating a shvus. Ela filu shvus d'mitzvah, even if it's a full-fledged mitzvah, but if in doing what you want to do involves violating issur d'rabbanan, the halacha is nami osir, it may not be done on Yontif. And the Mishnah continued, Kelel b'yontif amru. All of these were said b'yontif, and the same thing with Shabbos. And then the Mishnah concluded, Ein ben yontif l'shabbos, ela oichol nefesh b'vad. Asked the Gemara, v'reminu, is that the only difference between Shabbos and yontif? V'reminu, we just learned previously in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Meshilin derech aruba b'yontif, if there's a rain coming, and we're concerned that the fruit that's out on the roof is going to get ruined, we're allowed to take those fruit and drop them down the chimney on Yontif. But the halach is, Avaloi b'Shabbos. We may not do so on Shabbos. So we see there's another nafkamina between Yontif and Shabbos. Answers, the Gemara Amr, Rabbi Yosef Lekash, Har Rabbi Lezer. Our Mishnah says that everything, the Yontif and Shabbos are equivalent, represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. That he says that on Yontif also, we have to be concerned, even in a situation where there's a financial loss on the table. Rabbi Yeshua, the Mishnah that over there says we could be more lenient on Yontif when there's a question of Hefsed Mammon, represents the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Where do we see that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua have such a machlokes? The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us. We know the Torah Kedoshah teaches us, V'shar oiseh oiseh v'espenoy le'sishcha to b'yayim echad. A mother and his child may not be shechted on the same day. And the Mishnah, the Raisa discusses, Shenafla bar, the mother and the son both fell into the bar. And now the question is, we can't shech both of them on Yontif, and therefore, by taking out both animals from the bar on Yontif, with one of the animals is muksa. The second animal is muksa because I only could shecht one of them. So there's a machloikis what to do. Rabbi Lezer Omer, malas arishin amnas to shechtoi. The first animal I'll take out with the intention of shechting it. V'shechtoi and indeed shecht it. V'sheni, but now the second animal becomes muksa. For I may not shecht that animal because of oises benoi. And therefore, says Rabbi Lezer, what you do is ois loy panosibim kaimai. You have to leave that animal in the pit, and you said, throw down food and water for to have to eat and drink. G'day shloyamus, that it shouldn't expire. Rabbi Shua, I'm a malas arishin, I'm nas l'shachtai. You take out the first animal, and you say, I'm taking it out because I want to shechta for simchas yontav, oichel nefesh, vein shechta, and then you say, I decided not to shechta, v'chayze umar m'sashayini, and then he says, well, I don't like the first one, I think I'm going to like the second one better. And then he takes out the second one. And then, writes to Zeh Shechet, he could end up shechting either animal. But what he has now, both animals out of the bar. So we see that Rabbi Lezer did not allow us to be lenient. Even though it was a question of leaving this animal in the bar may lead to Hefsed Mammon, Rabbi Lezer was not lenient. Rabbi Shua was lenient. So the Gemara wants to say, so too regarding the question of Meshilin, of throwing fruit down the chimney. Rabbi Lezer will not be lenient on Yontif, and Rabbi Shua will be lenient. Amle Abaya, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef Amai, who says that these two machloikasin travel together? Dilma, at kan lekam Rabbi Lezer hasam. Rabbi Lezer over there was machmer el de efshe bepenosa, where you could send, you could throw food and drink down to the animal in the bar, and that's why we don't allow any haroma. Aval hocha, when it comes where the rain is going to ruin your fruit that's laying out on the roof, the loy efshe bepenosa, where you have no other option, loy, Rabbi Lezer will be lenient. Inami, at kan lekam Rabbi Shua hasam, defshe larumi. It's a haroma that is legitimate, because indeed, a person has a right to choose and decide which animal he would prefer to use. Aval hocha de leif shalarumi, in our Gemara, where haroma is not an option, where the case where haroma is not an option, simchas yontif alone does not allow, according to Yeshua, us to be mekel, and he would not allow to do meshilan on yontif. El ara papa. So we're not clear what Rabbi Lezer holds, we're not clear what Yeshua holds. So Gemara comes back to its original question. Our Mishnah said that the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is Oichel Nefesh. But from the previous Mishnah, we see there's another Nafkamina regarding Meshilin. May we throw down the fruit down the chimney on where on Shabbos we may not, and Yontif we may. Alam Papa Lakasha. Ha Beishamai, everything, Beishamai's opinion is that Shabbos and Yontif are equivalent, and Hefsed Mammon is not a heter, not just on Shabbos, but it's not a heter on Yontif either. Habes Hillel, our Mishnah that is lenient with Hefsed Mammon on Yontif represents the opinion of Beis Hillel. The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, Beishamai Amrim Eimetzin Leisa Kotnev Leisa Lulav Leisa Sevetayra. Beishamai says we may not carry a child or a lulav or a sevetayra Lushus Rabim, because there's no Oichel Nefesh component involved in carrying these objects, and therefore it may not be done on Yontif. Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Hillel is lenient, because as we've learned, Beis Hillel's opinion is, Mitoich Shotra L'Tzayrich, since these are activities that may be done, L'Tzayrich Oichel Nefesh, Hotra Nami Shaloi L'Tzayrich. So you see that Beis Hillel is more lenient when it comes to doing different activities on Yontif, and Beis Shammai is Machmer. Says the Gemara, why are we connecting these two machloikasin? Dil malayhi, at kan lekamri Beis Shammai hasam elai tzah. Beis Shammai was machmer when it comes to carrying. Avil tiltel, here our issue is muksa. Loi, there Beis Shammai will not necessarily be machmer. Says the Gemara, otu tiltel lav tzar chatzohu, what is the basis for the malocha of, for the issa muksa? So the Gemara says the basis for the Issa Muksa is carrying. So we see that Beis Shammai is machmer in carrying, and Beis Shammai does not subscribe when it comes to the malach of carrying the concept of metoich shehotra l'tzayruch, hotra nami shalai l'tzayruch. So just like they're not lenient in that fashion, they wouldn't be lenient regarding the halacha of muksa, because muksa is very much connected to carrying. And in fact, the Ravid, this is machlokes rishonim, what is the basis of hilchos muksa? And the Ravid's opinion is that muksa is connected to haitzah. Because Chazal were concerned that people shouldn't carry, so one of the ways they prevented people from carrying is by limiting what we may move on yontif, and limiting it that anything that's muksa may not be moved. And this Gemara is clearly the same as what the Ravid says. And in fact, I saw that the Magen Mishnah, the Ravid, the Rambam gives many different explanations for muksa. He says, the Gemara says, Shloi diburcha sheshavus ke diburcha shelchol, on Shabbos we're not allowed to speak the way we speak during the week. Lo yelucha b'shabbos ke lucha shelchol. Shabbos is different, and therefore he holds that Chazal were also makbid in what we're allowed to move, and we're not allowed to move different objects on Yontif, even on Shabbos Yontif, even though those are objects that we can move all week long. So asked the Magen Mishnah, but didn't Algam, and he doesn't say what the Ravid says, that Muks is based on Haitzah. So the Magen Mishnah asks on the Rambam, what's the Rambam going to do with our Mishnah, with our Gemara, that clearly indicates that Muks is connected to the Melach of Haitzah. So the Magen Mishnah says, of course the Rambam agrees that Muks is connected to the Melach of Haitzah. He says the reason the Rambam didn't say it is because it was obvious that that's the reason. It's our Gemara. The Rambam said there were also other, Rambam wants to teach us, there were other reasons that Chazal had for saying Muktzah's Osir. We know that in Shabbos and Yontif, one may walk, may not go out Chutz L'Tchum, more than 2,000 Amma. And when we determine where you are on Shabbos, is where you were by Bein HaShemashos. Wherever you were Bein HaShemashos, from there you get 2,000 Amas. And as we learned extensively in Masecht Erevin, if somebody wants to walk further in one direction, he could put Erev Tchumim. That means he could put down food 2,000 Amas away. Let's say he wants to walk to the east side. He could put down 2,000 Amas to the east side. And that will give him, that will make that that's where he was Koine Shvisa for the Shabbos. And then he could walk another 2,000 Amas further. However, what happens is if you get 2,000 amas in one direction, 2,000 amas extra in one direction, you lose that you can't walk in the other direction. We mentioned in our previous year that there's a machlokes rishonim if the din of the 2,000 amma is a drabonon. But we also know that there's a din of yud beis mil. There's a tchum of 12 mil, and we quoted in our previous year that there's a machloikus rishonim if that tchum is also only the rabbonim. The opinion of the Yerushalmi is that that tchum is a deraisa, and so too is the opinion of the Rif. But as we quoted in our previous year, the opinion of the Baal HaMor and the Rashba is that that tchum, even Yud Beis Mil, is only an issa derabbanan, not an issa deraisa. So says the Mishnah, not only does every person have a tchum, but teaches us the Mishnah, behem of akelim, my animals, my utensils, kragle abalim, have my tchum. And therefore, whatever tchum I'm limited to, so are my objects limited to that tchum. And therefore, teaches us the Mishnah, mois behem to lebnoi olaroya, if on yontif I gave over my animal to my child or to my or to a roya, the halacha is harayeli karagle abalim. The animal is limited to tchum of the owner. It's not allowed to follow the tchum of the person whom I gave it to. Says the Mishnah, kelim amichodim lechem echem shavabayis. You have another number of children in a home, and they share vessels. But one of those kelim then in the house is always used by one of the brothers. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Harei Elu Karaglov. That Keli has the tchum of that specific brother. So the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah is that all the brothers own this Keli. But since there's one specific brother who always uses that Keli, that's enough that Keli should be connected to him and have his tchum. The other However, other Rishonim don't agree. And they say that if we're all partners in the Keli, the fact that I use that Keli the most doesn't make it that it's mine. Therefore, they explain that it's speaking about a situation that the father passed away, and the halacha is that until they divide the Rusha, it's considered Tfusus Abayis, that it's considered to belong to the estate. And in that case, if one of the brothers has started to use that Keli, and presumably that's going to be his Yerusha, that's why it's considered his. However, Yish'en Miyuchadim, but if all the brothers have equal use in these Kelim, Harekim Makum Shalchim, we have to treat this Keli with the chumris of all of the brothers. And therefore, the halacha would be that let's say one brother made an Erev towards the east side. And as we said in the introduction to this Mishnah, if you make an Erev to the east side, you can't walk at all to the west side. And another brother made an Erev to the west side. And the halacha is, if you make an Erev to the west side, you can't walk at all to the east side. So if you're going to have two brothers having such a situation, so what's going to be the case in our Mishnah is because you have these two brothers in our Mishnah and the Keli belongs to both of them, you're not going to be able to take that Keli in either direction. Says the Mishnah, somebody borrows something, a Keli from somebody else, Erev Yontif. So since I borrowed it before Yontif, Karagli Ashoil, it gets my Tchum. B'Yontif, but if I only borrow this Keli on Yontif, then the halacha is Karagli Mashal. It has the Tchum of the person who had it at the beginning of Yontif, the Tchum of the lender. The Keni Isha Shaol and Mechaver to Tavlin, if a woman borrowed some spices from a neighbor, or Mayim or Melech Lisosoi, or she borrowed some water or some salt to make a dough, Hare Elu Karagli Shteyim. The halacha is that they're limited. You know, on one hand, it was at its owner's Rishus Abenish Mashes. On the other hand, since it's now part of the food that I cooked, so now it has my tchum. And therefore, we have to be machmer in both directions. And again, as we just described, if the person who, the borrower and the lender have opposite tchumim, you wouldn't be able to move this food. Yehuda Pait B'mayim, Yehuda discounts water because he says water ain't ben mamish. Says the Gemara Masnisin, our Mishnah, seems the Gemara to say, as the like Reb Doisa. It doesn't follow the opinion of Reb Doisa. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. Reb Doisa Omer v'Amrle Abishol Omer, Halakech behem mechaver me'erv yontif. If somebody buys an animal for someone else erv yontif, Apish le masro el b'yontif, even though I actually only took ownership and Yontif, Hareu Karagla Lakeach. It's already considered to have the tchum of the buyer. Hamais Behem Leroya, or if somebody's giving over an animal to a shepherd to take care of, Apish Lai Masra El Beyontif, even though he didn't actually give it to the shepherd only until Yontif, Harei Karagla Haraya. So we see, according to Reb Doisa, we don't look at necessarily where was Banish Mashus. Answers the Gemara, I feel the time Reb Doisa. Our Mishnah can be consistent with Reb Doisa, because like Kasha, Kam B'Raya Echad, Kam B'Shnei Rayim. Reb Doisa is speaking the situation where there's only one Roy in the town. And therefore, since there's one Roy in the town, I already know that I'm going to give it to him. So even though it was physically in my Rishus Ben Hashmashus, it's still ultimately going to be his. And we know it's going to be his, and therefore it gets his tchum, even though it was physically in my rishus bein hashmashus. However, if there's more than one roya, and we don't know which roya I'm going to end up giving it to on yontif, there it follows the owner's rishus when it comes to hilchus tchum. However, point out to rishonim, if there are indeed more than one roya in town, but I always give it to this Roya. So as far as I'm concerned, there's only one Roya, because that's the one I'm always going to give it to. Dekanami, and we learned this, and that's Pshat, Dektani Lebnoi Araya, that the situation is that I have a son and I have a royal. And therefore, Bein Hashmashis, it wasn't clear to whom I'm going to give it to. But if it was clear, Bein Hashmashis, to whom I'm going to give it to, the animal gets that person's tchum. Shema mina. Amar Rabbi Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Doisa. That indeed is the halacha. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Doisa? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, we always follow a stam mishnah. And we learned in our mishnah, t'nan, ha-behem ha-kelim, k'ragli ha-balim. We look at the owner's tchum. Answers the Gemara, v'lava kimnu. Haven't we just explained that our mishnah is not difficult, because kam b'raya echad, kam b'shnei royim. Even our mishnah, if there's raya echad, would agree that the animal, even though it was in mine, the owner's rishus b'bein hashmashis, if I'm going certainly to give it to that raya on yontif, it gets his tchum. Tana rabbanan, shnayim sheshol chluk echad b'shutfus. Somebody, two people borrowed a garment for on erev yontif. They borrowed it jointly. Zeh, one of the borrowers, wants to use the lechel by shachas by smenush, wants to use it in the morning to go to shul. Zeh lekanes by baravis by smenush. The one wants to use it in the afternoon where he's going to eat somewhere. But these two individuals have opposite eruv tchumim. Zeh eruv lov letzofim. This one made an eruv to the north side. Zeh eruv lov ledarim. As we've been explaining, they made eruv in two opposite direction. Zeh eruv letzofim. The person who made the Erev in the north side cannot take this garment more than the person who made the Erev in the south side may walk in the northern direction. And similarly, the Zesh Eilal of Dorim, the person that made an Erev to the south side can only walk with this garment, Mahalach Ladarim, in the south direction only as much as Kri Mishagel of Latzofen. Since they both borrowed it, it's similar to the case that we learned in the Mishnah, that the halacha is that we have to take the chumras of both of them. And therefore, continues the Braisa, the mitzvah is tchum. If the person who made the Erev in the north side has no ability, he completely is going the north side, and he has no ability to walk towards the south, and so too the person who made the Erev to the south side used up everything in the south side, and this individual cannot walk towards the north at all. So then, this object, this garment, may not be moved at all. Our Gemara begins to discuss the halacha of breira. The halacha of breira is that when something was done and it's not clear, we need to rely on retroactively understanding what happened. The question is, what is it affect? Does the halacha recognize retroactive designation? The Rishonim point out that the issue of breira is only in a situation where until later we can't really know what happened. But let's say we can know at this point. It's just a lack of knowledge. That means if somebody put down, example, if somebody put down an Erev Shabbos in two sides of the city, the east and the west, because he knows there's a Talmud Chacham coming to give a shir, he just doesn't know if he's coming to the east side or to the west side. And by Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashis, this Talmud Chacham has already come to one side. I just don't know. So it's not an issue in the Erev. It's an issue that I lack knowledge. In a situation where I lack knowledge, that isn't considered breira. And of course, the Rishonim point out that why, as we're about to learn, and we've learned previously, there's a big discussion in Shas, do we say breira? Yesh breira, ain't breira, do we say breira, don't we say breira? Yet throughout Shas, Tanoim, making conditions are perfectly halachically acceptable. Why is it Tanai not the same issue as breira? So Rashi explains, the difference between a Tanai and breira is a Tanai is something that's in my control. Breira is referring to a situation when something is not in my control. The Ramban says there's another distinction between Tanai and breira. Tanai is only one one side. In other words, somebody says, I'm going to give you this gift if this and this happens. So it's only one side, if this happens or not. Breira involves two sides, like our Gemara. You want to have Erev on the east side and on the west side. That is the way the Ramban differentiates between Tanai and Breira. There are some Rishonim that suggest that in a situation where it will be certainly now known in the future, then we don't say Breira. But most Rishonim disagree. The fact that it certainly will become evident in the future still is an issue of Breira. So says the Gemara, Itma, Shnaim Shlach Chavis Behema B'Shutfis. Two people bought a barrel of wine, an animal B'Shutfis, Erev Yontif, and they want to divide it on Yontif. Rava Mechavis Materis. So everybody could take the barrel. So now we divided the wine. I took half and you took half. The halacha is that I could carry my wine that I get to wherever my tchum is, and you could carry your wine to wherever your tchum is. But behema sura, behema can only be taken to where both of us could walk. The Shmuel Amar, chavis nam yasura, that the chavis also could only be carried to where both of us could walk. Ask the Gemara. Mikasava Rav, let's understand Rav's opinion, asked the Gemara. Ikasava, if Rav's opinion is Yesh Breira, and therefore on Yontav when we divided it, Breira tells us that the wine that I took was always mine, and the wine that you took was always yours. And the part of the animal that you took was always yours, and the part of the animal that I took was mine, also before Yontav. So then why does Rav distinguish between an animal and a behemoth? A few behemoth! The halach should be tishtri when we divide it on yontif. I should be able to carry my part as far as I can, and you should be able to carry your part as far as you can. Vikasava, if we say the Rav holds ein breira, so then I feel a chavis na misura. Why is he being lenient by the wine? Answers the Gemara Lola Kasava Yesh Breira. Rav indeed holds Yesh Breira. And therefore, when it's divided on yontif, it's retroactively known which was mine and which was yours. So if that's the case, why was Rav machmer by the animal? V'shani behema, a behema is different to kuyanki me'adodi. The animal, yanki tchum me'adodi, even though I got my portion of the animal, and you got your portion of the animal, but my portion of the animal relied on your part. The animal is one animal. And therefore, since the animal is all one animal, therefore, even though it was divided, and even if we're going to say, Even if we're gonna hold Yesh Breira, they're still connected to each other, and therefore we can't rely on Breira. So the question, of course, that I saw the Achroinim ask, yes, there is a concern of Yanika that my part was living off your part, vice versa. But that's just an insignificant part. And why don't we say that it should be bottle arrive? The answer is, going back to a concept that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and that is that this is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Yes, on Yontif we have a problem of Tchum, but after Yontif we wouldn't have a problem of a Tchum, and that's considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. By Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin we never say Bittel. Another pshat that I saw that the Achroidim suggest is that even though what I'm primarily getting is the animal, that I'm getting, but if the animal wasn't connected to the other part, it couldn't survive, and it would die. So therefore, even though the yanika is less than the actual portion that I'm getting, it's very significant. And something that's very significant, we know, never becomes bottle. Amalei Rav Kan, Rav Asi L'Rav, Lissa Maksu L'Chashu, Lissa Tchum L'Chashu. The question is, why don't we have a different concern? I had a mind that I'm going to use my part. The part that's going to go to yours, to you, I'm Masiach Das. And if I'm Masiach Das from it, I'm not paying attention to it, it's Muksa. So why is Rav only concerned about Tchum? Why isn't he concerned about Muksa as well? Says the Gemara, Shosuk Rav. And there's a Machloikis, how to understand what Rav, Shosuk Rav. One answer is that he agreed. Halacha is that Rav was quiet, not that he didn't have what to answer, and therefore Rav still held his position. That's the opinion
of the Rambam, that paskins like Rav. However, the Baal HaMor and the Iter say, Rav, by being quiet, the reason that he was quiet was because he didn't have an answer. And that's why he ultimately agreed with Shmuel. And just like he says, this concept of Yanika is not a concept that Halacha really recognizes. And just like the barrel that was divided, Rav taught us, we could, each one of us could take our wine to where we could walk, so too the animal I could carry to where I could walk. Asked, says the Gemara, my Havilah. So what is the Halacha in this Shaila? Do we say that the portion that each one of us got, we say Breira, that shows that that portion was ours already from before Yontif. And since it was our portion from before Yontif, it has each one of our individual Tchumim or not? My Havilah, what is the Halacha? Rav Oshia Amar Yesh Breira, that we do say Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Breira. Ask the Gemara, V'sover Rav Oshia Yesh Breira, does Rav Oshia hold the Breira? V'atanan. We learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Olos. We spoke about this earlier in our Masechta as well. The Mishnah taught us, in Daf Yud, we learned, that there's a mace b'bayis. We know if there's a mace Rachman Slan in the house, there's a tumas oil in the house. And the mace is going to be taken out of the door. So anything that's under a door is also going to be included in that tumas oil. But let's say this home, V'loi Psachim Harbe, has many doors. And if there's one door which is open, so we're going to say the mace is going to be taken out of that door. But if all the doors are closed, so then we have to assume that since we don't know which door the mace is going to be taken out of, anything that's found under any of the doors is tamei. Niftach echemehem, but now one of those doors is opened up. Hu tamei, because the mace is going to go out of that door. The kulan, tayrim, or the other doors that are still closed, there's no tumas oil under those doors. And the reason is that we assume that the mace is going to be taken out under that door. So the question is, why, if there are a number of doors, don't we say bittul b'rov? The mace is only going to be taken out of one door. And if the mace is only going to be taken out of one door, and there are many doors here, so that door is bittul b'rov. And the question is, why don't we say bittul b'rov? So the Tzemach David, quoting the Chavos Da'as, says a very important teretz. He says that the concept of bittul b'rov is only used when we have a teruvus. We have a mixture. And now we don't know how does the halacha look at the mixture. So we've learned many times the halacha tells us to follow roiv. But when it's not a teruvus, here each door is independent. There we can't say bittul b'rov. Continues the Mishnah. Chishiv lo yitzia be'echemehen. We decided to take the mace out of one door. Oy b'chaloyin, they decided to take the mace out of a window. Sheyesh by arba al arba, which is dal tfachim v'dal tfachim. Metzelas al psachim kulon. All the other doors are no longer a problem, even though they're not physically opened. But the decision to use that window, that door, is enough. B'shamayimim, v'chush chishiv lo yitzia be'echemehen. It only is helpful if you made that decision before the mace was nifter. B'sela amrim, even if you made that decision after this person was nifter, only that door, that window will be tamei, the others not. Ditma lo, v'am rabbi shil, tar es b'sachem mekarel haba. Machloikis, b'sela's opinion is only referring that anything that is under the doors after there was a decision made which door is going to be used, all the other doors, if something is brought under one of them afterwards, there's no tumas oil. So we see from here that Rabbi Oshia does not rely on Breira. Because if we were to rely on Breira, then that decision that I'm going to use that door should be helpful not only for what comes under the door after it's put under after the decision was made, even from before, because Breira teaches us that retroactively it becomes identified. So here we see the Rabbi Oshia doesn't hold the Breira, and before we said the Rabbi Oshia holds a Breira.
Answers the Gemara, Epoch. We have to reverse the opinions that were stated in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yishir is going to be the man that says, Ein Breira, consistent with Beis Hillel. And that's why Beis Hillel, even according to Rabbi Yishir, will only allow what's put under the doors after the decision was made which door is going to be used. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds Yesh Breira.